Sunday means football. This is Sports Fan Football Sunday. We preview this week's matchups, recap and highlights from all the big college games, plus helping you set your fantasy lineup. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
And it is here on Sports Fan Radio 1330, one full hour of all things NFL as we get you ready for kickoff, which is coming up a little bit later on this very same station. Bears out in L.A. They're taking on the Rams, 6:45, the broadcast start time. We're talking about it as we lead you all the way up to the noon games here on a football Sunday. It's Jackson here recording with Jordan Gothy. Jordan, how are you, man?
I've been better, Jackson. I've had a rough week over the weekend in fantasy football, and of course the weather has not been too kindly to us outside the last couple days.
And you work outside in this stuff?
Yeah, so this is what inside feels like. It feels nice. It feels nice and cozy, Jackson. I tell you what, you got things pretty nice, buddy. You get to be inside all day. You got the coffee maker. Seems like it's working 24/7.
Yeah, it is when I'm here, that's for sure. And full disclosure, we are recording this thing right after I got done over on 104.9 The X and 11 o'clock here. And I'm kind of running on minimal sleep, so this show might get a little bit loopy. I'm pretty excited about it. Are you?
Yeah.
All right, let's dive in. We've got the Bears coming off of a win against the Lions 20-13, as you heard here last week on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Mitch Trubisky with 3 touchdowns. Is that enough to consider it redemption?
I don't consider that redemption. I mean, yeah, he threw the ball 23 times. And let's be honest, 216 total yards of offense. Terrible first half until the very end. I know they had a drive going into halftime. Beautiful pass to the tight end, Broniker. The Harvard grad, that was always cool to see that, but it was a beautiful pass, beautiful catch by both players.
Smart people can play too, Jordan.
That's right. There's a fullback by the name of Kyle Juszczyk over in San Francisco. He's one of the best fullbacks in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, got a big shout out to Harvard there. But overall, going back to the Bear game, I mean, 216 total yards of offense. Sure, Trubisky threw 3 touchdowns. I mean, outside of that, the offense still struggled. Only 216 yards. The Lions had almost 400 with a backup quarterback, and not just any backup quarterback, Jeff Driscoll. With all due respect, he got
this. Wait. This is the part where a disrespectful thing is about to be said, so I just want to clarify that.
Let me lay this down here. This is a guy who got cut by the 0-9 Cincinnati Bengals to begin the year. That's right. The 0-9, he couldn't make the Bengals roster, and now he's in Detroit, and he almost beat the Bears.
They still got the Red Rocket out there, so I mean.
Not anymore, but they did.
The offense did start slow. Broniker's catch and Mitch's throw. I mean, it was a beautiful connection at the end of the half. It saved them from being booed off the field as they ran into the tunnel for halftime. That started a couple of, 3 consecutive drives in a row?
Yeah, and that's what it seemed like. It was like boom, boom, boom after that.
I stepped away from my television. I went to take care of some things around the house. I sat back down. It was 20-7. I had to rewind everything just to see exactly what happened. I wasn't expecting the Bears to explode like that. And it turns out that they did. They got a little confidence going into the half.
I don't think anyone was expecting that, including all Bears fans. But here's the thing I don't understand is that from last year to this year, when it comes to scripted plays, especially scripted plays on the first drive or two, that's where Matt Nagy is supposed to excel in. Like, if you go back to last year, they were always good on their first and second drive of the game. But for some reason this year, they're terrible. They're one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to their first drive, their first possession.
Yeah, I don't know how many points they scored on their first possession, but it has not been pretty. You're right. But Mitch started to look a little bit better on deep passes over 20 yards. He was actually 3 for 4 in the game on Sunday, and I think that that's a big step for him. A guy who was supposed to be a very accurate quarterback coming out of the draft. He's showing it a little bit more on some of these deep passes here in the last week. No interceptions.
Yeah.
3 touchdowns. I'm not going to say that he played perfect. There was still a couple of mistakes in there, but it looked a lot better than it did before.
Jackson, I don't remember the last time the Bears finished a game without turning the ball over. It's been a long time, and Trubisky made a lot of deep throws down the field. They took advantage of a struggling defense, which is what you're supposed to in the NFL, and they did a good job with that. You know, Lions are supposedly supposed to be good against the run, and they struggled in that department. They also struggled against the pass on Sunday. Honestly, though, I got to be happy. A win is a win.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Even though it's against the Lions.
Well, they did the whole clubbed up thing. They did the whole party in the locker room thing. I mean,
yeah, he beat the Lions.
Well, they won. It's been a little while.
You like club dub?
No, I hate it. But I'm not a Bears fan.
I like it when you're a winning football team.
Right.
This is not a winning football team.
But whatever it is.
A struggling football team.
But if it helps you get your confidence up, then do it.
If you look at it that way, then
If it builds rapport and camaraderie and it makes the locker room closer and it makes them want to play for each other more, then yeah, dude, party away. Put the disco ball up and the strobe lights and the fog machine and the music and get it going.
Yeah, put the disco light up and make sure Tariq Cohen's phone's away. That's all you got to worry about.
No Matthew Stafford, as you mentioned, for the Lions. If he's there, do the Lions win?
Who knows? Like, he wasn't playing. Like, who knows if he would have came in? I'm sure it would have been a little bit more competitive. I'm sure Stafford would have kept his team in the game, even though Driscoll did a fine job.
He did.
Coming off the bench. I know that I think the NFL is actually looking into this whole how the Lions going into this matchup, how they prepared with the whole injury report. I think they're going to investigate right now because Saturday night, all of a sudden, hey, Stafford might not play on Sunday. Sunday morning, Stafford's out. It's kind of like all of a sudden, what's going on with Stafford? We knew he was on the injury report early on in the week, but we thought, when does Stafford ever miss a game? Which I believe he broke his streak, too.
You remember he came up and he was injury prone because he couldn't finish a season for the first 3 or 4 years.
And then he started rallying off a couple of really good seasons.
Mm-hmm. And he's been a guy who is as dependable as anybody. Eli Manning, basically, for the last 10 years or so.
He's a guy who every year is always undervalued. Always. I know the Lions have struggled for a number of years. They can't win the playoffs. I get it. Now they're struggling to just get back to the playoffs. But Stafford is still one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Like, could you picture a guy like Matthew Stafford on this Bears team where they would be right now with him at the helm?
They'd be a lot better.
They'd be competing for the division title right now. You're talking about the Packers are 8-2. They'd be right up there.
The knock on Stafford is that he still makes mistakes, and I'm not a huge fan of the quarterback win stat. But I think that over the course of time, you can look at a statistic like Stafford. His team record against winning teams that are above 500, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Kirk Cousins. It's what a lot of critics bash Kirk Cousins over. And I feel like Matthew Stafford does at times shrink in those big moments. But as far as the stats go, you give him 16 for 23. He's probably got a few touchdowns as well.
Right.
And I feel like he is, like you said, an undervalued quarterback. Not upper echelon, but definitely a good fantasy option.
He keeps his team in games, and that's why I really like him and I respect him. He keeps his team in the game constantly. And every game this year, the Lions, they've either lost or won by one possession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a very competitive team.
I love that team. I love that Lions team this year. I think that they are better than what their record shows.
You can never overlook a team like that. They're going to be, I feel like that's just another Bill Belichick type team. I mean, Matt Patricia's a head coach, but like, he's a guy who's just like, he's going to make you grind your teeth. He's going to keep your guys motivated, keep them in the game. And that's a Lions football team for you.
Matthew Stafford's replacement, Jeff Driscoll, needed 46 passes to get 269 yards, 27 completions, one touchdown, one pick. I'll tell you about the Bears defense. Nick Kwiatkowski is all over the field.
Yeah.
That guy looked awesome the other day.
A lot better than Roquan, that's for sure.
Roquan's had a rough year, but this Kwiatkowski guy, and I hope that I'm saying that right, he's a player, man, and I love the way that he is performing right now. When they need a boost, it seems like he's making a tackle, and the ball kind of finds him, and he does the most with it.
I know Ryan Pace has been criticized a lot for his early-round picks. We go back to Kevin White and Trubisky, but Nick is just another example of the late round gems that Ryan Pace has found over the years. Talk about Jordan Howard, Adrian Amos, I mean, Tariq Cohen, you name it. I mean, there's a lot of deep finds. Eddie Jackson that he finds later on in the drafts, usually kind of late day two, early day threes where he likes to go over there. And he finds a lot of good names, a lot of good pieces that just fit this defense. Dane Chevrathan goes out, Nick steps in, plays really well, really didn't miss a beat. Right now, Nick, I feel like, is the best inside linebacker on this team right now. And he was the third guy in the depth chart going into the season. What does that tell you about your first-round pick, Roquan Smith?
I appreciate you staying away from the last name there. The Bears have the Rams tonight at 6:45 on Sportsman Radio 1330, the broadcast start time. You can always turn down Collinsworth and Michaels if you would like to. Happy 75th, Al Michaels, by the way. Collinsworth gets on a lot of people's nerves, so if you want to turn that game down, you want to turn the radio on, you can watch along. The Rams have problems. And I feel like the Rams' problems began last year against the Bears. I still feel like the Bears broke Jared Goff. He was having a phenomenal year. And then that night game last year, Jared Goff ain't the same guy. And the Rams have done some mistakes, or at least what looks like in hindsight to be some big mistakes, handing out a ton of money to Todd Gurley, handing out a ton of money to Jared Goff.
ton of money. It's more like a truckload.
Do you have any fear in that offense in Los Angeles currently?
You know, they still have playmakers all over the field. There's no question. They still have the players to do it, and they have the coach to do it. The problem is for the Rams, why they've struggled this year, is that they have a bottom five offensive line. Their offensive line has been terrible. Andrew Whitworth is one of the more well-respected NFL players and one of the best offensive tackles in the league since he entered it. And he's what, 37, 38? So he's getting up there in age, and by far this is his worst year he's played. And with him playing bad, the rest of the offensive line is struggling. I know they've been banged up a lot. And the Rams, I mean, Jared Goff is a completely, completely different quarterback when he's under pressure compared to when he's in the pocket and he has time to throw it. I'm sure you could say that for a lot of quarterbacks, but it's insane how bad Jared Goff is under pressure. And you just brought up last year when the Bears played the Rams, when they broke Jared Goff. The reason why they broke him is because he had pressure on him the entire game from kickoff to the final buzzer in the fourth quarter. I mean, just consistent pressure on him to where he only had, I think, like, what, 20 passing yards? Something crazy low like that last season. And I know he struggled last week against Pittsburgh. That's another good defense right now, and they just kind of ripped him a new one. If this offensive line was better, I think the Rams would be competing with the Niners for the division title. But it just shows you how you have to build your NFL team. If you have a struggling offensive line, the rest of your offense is going to struggle. And the rest of your team could struggle if your offense isn't producing because your offensive line is not protecting. It's kind of weird how that kind of just goes back to the same part every year, or with every team. The Bears have struggled offensively. Sure, it might be the quarterback, but their offensive line has not been good either.
Right. 5-4 for the Rams. They're looking up at both the Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers right now. The team that was the defending NFC champion from a year ago does not look like that right now. And my working theory, now I can't prove this, but my working theory about Sean McVay is that everybody who has come in contact with Sean McVay, whether or not they high-fived or shook hands or coached against each other,
just saw him on the street.
They were getting hired over the last offseason, the last two off-seasons, really. And with each of those hires, each of those guys just dispersing across the league right now, they all took a little piece of the mystique of Sean McVay. And right now, we're seeing half the man that he used to be.
Do you really believe that?
That's my working theory.
Sean McVay is still, even though they're struggling this year, their offense is nowhere near to where it was. Sean McVay is still one of the better coaches in the league. And you talk about the Bears breaking Jared Goff last year.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots broke Sean McVay. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, it's possible. I'm also just, I'm full of crap when I'm saying that. I'm totally just being facetious and saying that Sean McVay is no longer as good as what he was a year ago.
We see this year after year, the teams that play the Patriots in the Super Bowl. We saw it happen with the Panthers when they played the Broncos. Panthers are still probably ever going to get back to the same position they were when they played the Broncos in the Super Bowl. The Falcons, that huge collapse in the big game. Where are they at now? They're 1-8 ball club right now. And then you look at the
Eagles.
That's
two wins, by the way. 2-7,
okay.
Mister.
They get the big win over the weekend. The Eagles struggled as soon as they got after they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And now the Rams are struggling a year after they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. It's like the Patriots curse.
Yeah. And it's also a defending conference champion curse as well. It's mostly in the NFC because of the way that the AFC has treated them over the recent years.
Listed off all the teams right
you're
there.
You're right, yeah. I mean, this has been going back for over a decade, though. It continues to happen, and that's just the crazy thing about the NFL. We'll talk more about the Bears and Rams a little bit later when we do our game day picks and see what the Bears have to do to win. Again, that game is going to be on 6:45, Sports Fan Radio 1330. That's the broadcast start for Sunday Night Football. I'm shocked that it wasn't flexed back down, but it's still there.
You and me both.
And we could both watch it. You can be done with work and still watch this game live as it happens, and we'll be live tweeting it as well, I'm sure.
Can I be honest with you, Jackson? I am a little nervous with the primetime game. So I'm nervous, as a lot of Bear fans, with how Trubisky's played this year. But now they go back to a primetime game. Now the rest of the country gets to see how bad Mitchell Trubisky and this Bears offense is.
Well, and that also makes sense. The Rams are a team with a better record. They've got a better division, and there are reasons to believe that the Rams are a threat. So it's not just that.
They're hungry for a win.
We'll talk more about the game a little bit later on. We've got to mention as well the other side of the state line. We do air Wisconsin programming on here, so I did just briefly want to mention the Green Bay Packers, the 24-16 victory as they stopped Christian McCaffrey inches before the end zone as time expired. Going to 8-2 into the bye. Jordan, positive sign for the defense. They held in the red zone again. I'll tell you, the team's different when they get into the red zone and they're backed up. It's not the same as the team that's in between the 20s in the field. Kyle Allen is not a bad quarterback, dude. That guy is elusive as hell. He is someone who could put the ball in the breadbasket. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes, but the mistakes that he did make last week were crippling ones like the fumble. I like Kyle Allen as a quarterback, and I feel like if he continues this, he should be starting next year in the league somewhere.
Do you think he's the guy in Carolina? Do you think they're going to let Cam Newton go?
Depends on what the long-term outlook on Cam Newton is going to be health-wise.
So I'm glad you brought up the defense first. You think they're fine?
No, I don't. I think that there's a lot of work to do, but I think that they are fine when it gets within the red zone. I'm not at that point where I'm freaking out about it. The stats are the stats. They look terrible, but they're better than what their stats suggest. Mm-hmm. Again, gave up well over 400 yards, only 16 points. And this has happened time and time again this year for Green Bay. Before we head into fantasy hour here, we dive into all of that. The Packers in a bye week now. One question for you, Jordan. Aaron Jones has turned himself into an MVP candidate this year. He's not going to win it. He's definitely not as good as Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey has an uphill battle to climb against some of these top upper echelon quarterbacks right now. But if you had to pick a team MVP for the Green Bay Packers, would it be Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Jones this year so far?
I think Aaron Jones right now. Aaron Rodgers might be the guy, might be the headliner. You think of the Green Bay Packers, you think of their quarterback Aaron Rodgers. But this year, the better player has to be Aaron Jones. I mean, double-digit touchdowns already. He had two touchdowns inside the goal line, three inside the red zone against the Panthers on Sunday. And a snowy afternoon, by the way.
That was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones, I think, hands down, has to be your team MVP.
50% of all carries that he gets within the 10-yard line, Aaron Jones has taken to the house, which is an incredible number. A guy who's on pace for over 20 touchdowns, first guy on the Packers since Amon Green. At the same time, Aaron Rodgers, he's not doing great in fantasy football, but 17 touchdowns, two picks. He's on pace for 4,000 yards. He's having himself a fine season as well. They've got a big game against San Francisco on Sunday Night Football coming out of the bye, so we get back-to-back state line Sunday Night Football games. Dude, before we go to break here, I just want to mention that San Francisco and Seattle game was probably the best of the year.
It had to be one of the best. Went down to the wire, literally went down to the wire, final six in overtime, and Jason Myers was able to get the kicker, kick the ball through, former Jaguars kicker, by the way. But yeah, that was one hell of a football game.
Jordan, our resident Jaguars fan, found something to be happy about on Monday night. He's going to be happy as we dive into Fantasy Hour coming up next year. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
More Sports Fan Football Sunday next on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Now back to Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hope your weekend's going well. It's warmed up a little bit, so that's kind of nice around the state line area. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330, a football Sunday leading you up to the noon games here. I'm Jackson. We're going to dive into Fantasy Hour now. There are a couple of teams on bye weeks. The aforementioned Green Bay Packers are on a bye. The aforementioned New York Giants are on a bye. Seattle, Tennessee, those are your four teams right now, so you might be looking for some quarterback help, and we've got just the guy to help you sitting across from me right now with quarterbacks. Jordan, tell me first about the injuries on the fantasy front.
So we do have a few names now. Luckily, I wrote it down because my computer just died in front of me as
we speak. Oh, that's fun. I was wondering why you were giving me that look.
So a couple injuries here. Matthew Stafford, we mentioned, it's kind of a last-minute surprise for all of us and a lot of fantasy owners out there. He missed last week's game against Chicago with a back injury. We'll see if he plays this Sunday in their matchup against the Cowboys. Matt Ryan dealing with an ankle injury after a big win last week against the Saints. We'll see if he plays again this week. And Jacoby Brissett, looks like all things are go. Green light for Brissett this week. He is dealing with a knee injury. They have a tough matchup against the Jaguars.
It was a rough game for the Drew Brees owners last week in Atlanta, too. Is that a cause for concern or just a bad game?
You know, I don't think it is. I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned. I mean, you're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We thought the Atlanta game was a great matchup last week. Well, Tampa Bay might even be better. And plus, you have the best receiver in the game right now, Michael Thomas, who, by the way, is on pace to have about 150 catches.
Again.
That's
crazy.
Insane.
It's crazy what he's doing right now. Rough game for the Bills, too, last week, but Josh Allen has the Dolphins this week. Jordan, what is our show rule for players playing against the Dolphins?
Our show rule is to start every player against the Dolphins not so fast. The Dolphins' defense has actually played pretty well in the last two games in their two-game win streak.
Oh, are they going to run the table?
I'm not saying they're going to run the table
or
anything.
Here come the Dolphins.
But
they're coming.
There is a little concern when your team is playing the Dolphins now because Brian Flores has got that team pumped up. Whatever he did, to get that defense rolling. It's rolling right now, so there's just a little cause for concern going up against the Dolphins defense, and I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth.
All right, Josh Allen gets redemption. I'm saying he's going off for 20-plus in a fantasy format. Sneaky plays for you this week, Jordan?
A couple guys I like. Derek Carr is the first guy up on the list going up against Cincinnati Bengals, ranked 29th against opposing quarterbacks this year. Excuse me. I love that matchup. Also, he's available in a lot of leagues. Drew Brees, you mentioned, going up against Tampa Bay, they're one of the worst teams against the pass this year.
It's going to be a shootout.
But the reason I brought him up, and normally I'd pick players that are kind of streaming options, guys that might not be owned in all leagues. Drew Brees was probably released in a lot of standard redraft leagues, and after a bad game last week, he might still be available. Go check it out. You know, there's a chance he might be available. There was in a few leagues, like our league, he was available in, but your boy scooped him up. So he is available, so just go check it out. Also, Kyle Allen, great matchup against the Falcons, ranked 28th against opposing quarterbacks. He's a streaming option. And you mentioned before in the last segment that you're a Kyle Allen guy. He can
elusive
put up some numbers.
As hell. I love all players named Allen that run the quarterback position. There's about five or six of them now in the NFL. I'm going to give you one that goes against the grain a little bit, but I'm rolling with him this week because I expect big things. My reasoning is, I don't care if he's playing San Francisco. In fact, this isn't going to be the same 49ers team you saw on Monday night. 6 days of rest after a game that went five full periods, basically. I'm taking Kyler Murray, man. That's a top six. I think he's a number six overall quarterback in the league.
He's putting up numbers.
He's putting up numbers, and I know that they're going to be coming out swinging early against him, but if he can withstand that, Kyler Murray has played really well. And I'm going to roll with him this week.
Do you think he can do it twice? Because he put up a good number the last Thursday night game against the Niners. And even though the Niners kept Russell Wilson in check on Monday night for the most part, I mean, do you think Kyler Murray could do it back-to-back games against the 49ers?
What's going to help is that the Niners are at home. And they don't have to go anywhere after 6 days of rest. Mm-hmm. But they're still going to be a little tired. That bye week right now, it doesn't matter. They just almost played to the end of overtime, and it was a tight game, and they had all their emotions in that, and they were gutted at the end of that thing. Give me Kyler Murray this week. As we move on to running backs, do you have any players to avoid?
Jared Goff's number one on my list, just because...
Bomb!
Yeah. It's a nightmare matchup for Jared Goff, and not just because he struggled last week against Pittsburgh. He struggled all season, but that offensive line is just terrible. Bottom five. I said bottom five last segment. It might be bottom three. They're that bad. The Bears need to take advantage of that. Jared Goff, I would avoid.
How about Jacoby Brissett? I got a couple of good games out of him when I was playing him in deeper league. Jacoby Brissett, if he comes back against the Jaguars.
You're saying you want to avoid him or start him?
Do you like him?
You know, I think it's a favorable matchup. That secondary isn't as elite as what it was with Jalen Ramsey. I think the pass rush is still there for Jacksonville, but they're a team that you can pass on. They're a team that you can score on. I think Jacoby Brissett will put up good numbers. And here's the thing about the Colts. They always play their interdivision opponents really well.
They
always score the ball. They always just find success against their interdivision opponents, so I think that's a good thing going for them.
Running backs now, any injuries that are new on the running back front?
We do have a bunch. So Chris McCaffrey has been dealing with a knee injury the last couple of weeks.
Get ready to write this down.
It's actually now a foot injury.
Oh.
So that's something just cause for concern. Relax.
Okay? Go out!
He's the number one fantasy receiver, fantasy running back and receiver at sometimes, but he's that good. That's just cause for concern right there. Josh Jacobs dealing with a shoulder injury. Your boy has both of those guys starting.
That
on the
sucks,
same team,
man. I like Josh Jacobs a lot.
Le'Veon Bell. Illness. You know, hey, I'm just a reporter here.
We're recording this on Wednesday. If he doesn't play, then it must be mono.
I mean, this is just what's on the list. Yeah. I'm sorry if I forget someone, but this is just what's on the list.
That's okay. All right, who else you got?
We got your Bears leading rusher, Dave Montgomery, dealing with an ankle injury.
17 carries for once. Thanks, Matt Nagy.
And we got your former Bears running back, Jordan Howard, lands on the injury report with a shoulder issue. And Ty Johnson, right now, a concussion protocol for your Lions.
When we talk about the Lions, you know, they're my second team this year, apparently. J.D. McKissic, maybe emerging as the Lions back now with him out. How do you feel about him this week?
I'm sorry. Can we just go back to the Lions being your second team?
What about
the Lions?
Yeah, man. I think that they're better than what their record shows.
It's different if you say a team that's like out of division, like the Bengals.
Well, I don't love the Lions. I'm not a fan of them.
But say the Lions. Yeah, the Lions are my second team this year. I don't know why, but I'm feeling good about it.
Well, they're also not a threat, so it doesn't really matter. It's just kind of like, I hope they beat Minnesota. I'm a huge Lions fan this year because I want them to beat the the Vikings.
Okay, well, stick
that's
with
all
the
I
Lions.
Care about.
Their running back situation is just ugly. It's been ugly for years. They thought Kerryon Johnson was the fix. He got injured once again this year. No, I don't have no confidence in this running back group with J.D. McKissic, who's gotten cut by half the league already, and Ty Johnson right now, concussion protocol. No, there's no trust. Don't start any lines running back.
Kareem Hunt just gave the Browns 14 in PPR last week, only 7 in standard formats. But he's got Pittsburgh this week. They are ranked 5th against running backs. I found that on your section of the website here. Do you start Kareem Hunt and feel like crap, or do you sit Kareem Hunt and feel better?
He's an interesting player to have on your roster, and I'm sure if you draft him this year, you more than likely kept him.
Uh-huh.
Waiting for him to play. I would still sit him for right now just because he's still the number 2 running back in Cleveland, and it looks like he will be the number 2 running back for probably for a while because Nick Chubb is the guy in
Cleveland.
He's
good, yeah.
And therefore, can you really afford starting the number 2 running back in an offense? Not really. I can't, especially with the Browns, no way.
If Freddie Kitchens is smart, he will get Kareem Hunt in more just to make Nick Chubb a little bit less damaged as the season goes on because the rest of Cleveland's schedule doesn't look bad, and in a really bad AFC, they're still looking at things like they might have a chance.
But I think you just answered the question in the beginning when you said if Freddie Kitchens was smart,
right,
which he's not.
Ronald Jones had a great week last week. I feel like this is the first time I'm ever saying this. He went for over 100 yards. No disrespect to Ronald Jones. It was a hell of a game for him, and I'm, you know, I guess that was disrespectful. I take that back.
You got to be honest with him. He has struggled.
Definitely struggled. He's got New Orleans this week as well, a team that makes opposing running backs struggle against them. So do you roll the dice with Jones?
Absolutely. I'm all in on Ronald Jones this week. I know I just dissed him, but like he has struggled. You got to be honest with that. But tough matchup against New Orleans. But here's the reason why I like Ronald Jones. He can finally catch the ball. The number one issue since he has entered the league was dropped passes. He caught 8 of them on Sunday for about 77 yards. Maybe I got that flipped. But great game last week against Arizona. I know it's a tougher defense now against the Saints, but I love Ronald Jones. He's one of my favorite plays this week.
Can I start with a sneaky play?
Go ahead. Be my guest.
I don't mean to steal your thunder on this one if that's who you're looking
at.
Is
that Ronald Jones?
It's Brian Hill in Atlanta who got a lot of action this last week. He's available in most leagues, although I did put the waiver claim in Jordan, so hopefully I got him. He's going up against Carolina, and the Panthers, of course, good against the pass. Pretty susceptible to being hurt against the run. So Brian Hill in Atlanta, take a good hard look at him. Jordan, who else do you have?
I'm going to add to that, actually, because Brian Hill is on my list. But with Atlanta, a team that has struggled on defense for most of the season, but they've struggled on offense on some occasions. They're a 2-win ball club right now. But when you finally find success on the offensive side of the ball, even though Devontae Freeman is out, Brian Hill, I mean, you're going to go back to that. You're going to utilize him in the run game, or you're going to utilize him in the pass game. Why would you go away from that? Why would you go away from success that you finally get when you're still a 2-win ball club? I think they're going to go back to that. So I really love Brian Hill this week. Great matchup.
And I don't think they're tanking either. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
I don't think they're giving up just yet. Dan Quinn is coaching for his job right now, and the players love him.
Yep.
And they're finally at, 6 or 7 sacks last week against Drew Brees. So I think the Falcons are still playing. Brian Hill's a nice matchup. I also like Joe Mixon.
I'm
hopping on the Mixon bandwagon, man.
I thought you were off for good.
I was.
I thought you were done.
I was, right?
You said this. I saved him. I'm like, okay, Jordan's not going to say him. So like, I'm just going to have this in here as a second guy to look out for. Dude, I've waited for this guy. Go ahead.
He's had over 20. He had over 20 carries last week. First time in a long time. Here's the thing that the Bengals took 10 weeks to figure out. When you have a young quarterback, the best thing to do is take pressure off him, run the ball. If you have a struggling offensive line, which, by the way, the Bengals have the worst offensive line in the NFL, if you have a bad offensive line, would you prefer to run or pass? Run the ball. It's easier than pass blocking. Run block. Running up the middle. They're finally utilizing Joe Mixon. Great matchup against the struggling Raiders defense, ranked 20th, by the way, against opposing running backs. I'm hopping back on the Joe Mixon bandwagon.
Man, you took all my players. Do you have anybody else or someone to avoid?
I have a couple players to avoid, and hold your breath.
Okay.
Two superstars, Alvin Kamara, David Johnson.
Okay. I was going to give a third one.
What's the third one?
Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Can you really trust the guy? Can you really trust any of those?
I haven't played Todd Gurley in 3 weeks.
So you can't trust Todd Gurley. You can't trust David Johnson right now. 0 points last week against Tampa Bay. He was actually ranked pretty good against opposing running backs in fantasy.
Yeah.
But you really can't trust those guys. And I want to start with David Johnson. To me, what I've seen the last couple of weeks, and he's been banged up, and you play a Tampa Bay defense, there's just overall they're bad. But is it just me, or does it feel like Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds better. They fit better in this offense than David Johnson does.
They're certainly playing better this year, and I think the injuries have something to do with it for David Johnson.
But they're nowhere near the skill level David Johnson is. It's just I feel like he doesn't fit this offense anymore.
And it's not working. Whatever it is, it's not working.
And going back to Kamara, and as a Kamara owner in a few leagues, I am frustrated with the result. Maybe he's still banged up. Maybe Drew Brees just isn't utilizing him yet, and then maybe they want to save him for the postseason. But now you play Tampa Bay, and I just talked about how bad that defense was. It's a bad defense, right? You can throw all over them. They're actually ranked second against opposing running backs in fantasy, and that's what I'm looking at for here. In fantasy this year, ranked second. That's through 10 weeks. So that's an actual legit stat. So I'm a Kamara owner, I am nervous. I would tread lightly with Alvin Kamara going into this weekend.
That's surprising given the number of turnovers that Winston has. You would think that offenses would run the ball to either punch it in if they're close or just to maintain possession of the clock to wear down that Tampa Bay defense. I'm surprised by that.
And I know they picked Devin Wade with the early round in the NFL draft this past spring, but like their front seven isn't bad as it used to be. Yeah, they got Jason PP back. I mean, you still got Shaquille Barrett, who's leading the league in sacks right now. So, I mean, you got playmakers. Vita Vey is playing really well in the interior. I mean,
I've never heard Jason Pierre Paul called that before. JPP? Yeah, no, but you said Jason PP. I'm loopy. We're recording this thing late. It's great. Were you going to continue on your point, or did I kill you?
No, that was pretty much it.
Oh, I killed you.
I'm not going to bench a guy like Kamara, but I would just tread lightly this week against Tampa Bay.
Follow Walter White's steps to success this week. That is the voice of Jordan Gothee. He has not seen Breaking Bad. I'm still trying to get him on that, but tread lightly is a term that's used in that show. Jordan, he is our fantasy football expert, and we will have more coming up. Wide receivers, tight ends, kicker, defense, and we'll pick our game day picks for what's happening tonight as well as tomorrow. Up next on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
More Sports Fan Football Sunday next on Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Oh, it's the Garage Rock one. Love this one. Sports Fan Radio 1330 Football Sunday. Jackson sitting alongside Jordan Gothee taking it up to 11 o'clock here as we've got no football outside of Red Zone. I mean, we've got the Bears at 6:45. The team north of the border is off this week, so we can watch just about any game we want to this week right now.
I'm going to be watching the full Jaguars game.
That is true. He is our resident Jaguars fan. See, that's your second team. I just picked the Lions because they're just kind of like that, you know.
You can't pick a team in your own division of your favorite team. That's just, it's not something that's a no-no. You don't do it.
Can I pick the Cardinals?
Which sport?
Definitely not baseball.
Okay.
Definitely,
then we're good then.
Definitely
then
not baseball. I like Kyler. All right. We talked about him last segment too. If you missed it, you can check out the podcast. There's still plenty of time before kickoff begins for the noon games here. We're diving into the second half of our fantasy hour with wide receivers, tight ends. You've got a background story on a kicker that you're going to get to because
I'm pumped.
They have emotions. We'll pick a defense for you and also the game day, all the best games. We're going to go over those
plus
the record. It's called the pick six. When it comes to wide receivers, though, not a ton. There are some injuries, though, right?
We do, and it's actually a list where I actually had to create a new sheet.
Oh, so there's a lot.
Down. Yeah, I mean, it's that time of year. It seems like receivers have the most amount of injuries compared to running backs this year. It just seems like that. Adam Thielen, hamstring injury. Will Fuller, we'll see if he returns to the lineup this weekend.
I hope he does.
Hamstring injury.
I went to go pick him back up everywhere. Oh, dude, give me – don't take –
Oh, did you put a claim in our league? Because I was the one who got him.
I took – Wait, are they in now? Do we have our players?
Yeah.
Jesus, really? Let me check this. Go ahead. Let's talk.
Emmanuel Sanders, ribs injury. Alshon Jeffrey, ankle injury. Marquise Brown, ankle. Demaryius Thomas, back to fantasy relevance, dealing with a hammy and a knee injury.
I am so mad right now.
Why? Because T.Y. Hilton is out too with the calf injury?
Well, him too. Continue.
A.J. Green, who we thought would return to the lineup last week, and not sure why he's trying to come back to the 0-9 Bengals team. Maybe he wants to get one last win there. He is dealing with an ankle injury. Brandon Cook, Sterling Shepard, both in concussion protocol. It doesn't look like those guys will go this weekend.
Jordan.
And Corey Davis, hip injury.
Dude, you took.
I pick up Drew Brees, even though I have Deshaun Watson. Yeah,
You don't have him in our league.
Maybe I lied.
I got him.
I can't keep track of
him. I got him, and guess who's going to use him against you this week, buddy?
I forgot we play this week.
You're killing
it's
me right
weekend.
Now. You're killing me right now. Jesus.
We're playing
right.
for positioning in playoffs.
Hey, are we done with Odell Beckham Jr. as a must-start in this league?
I wouldn't say must start. Yeah, he's not a must start anymore. He's a nice flex play. I mean, he has had 21 receptions in his last four games. That's good enough for a flex play, I think, even though the Browns offense is struggling. I wouldn't say he's a must start, though.
Quick question, one or the other. More disappointing player this season, Todd Gurley or Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think Odell. Gurley's at least found the end zone.
Your sneaky plays for wide receivers?
A couple guys I like. DJ Moore, great matchup against Atlanta, ranked 27th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. Deebo Samuel, I like him if Emmanuel Sanders does not go on Sunday's matchup against the Cardinals. Deebo Samuel had 8 receptions last week, really had more targets once Sanders left the game. Great matchup against the 23rd ranked secondary in the Arizona Cardinals. And I like Mohamed Sanu. I think it's a nice sneaky play going against Philadelphia, ranked 25th. Coming off a bye week, you get another week's worth of reps with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady was already praising him for coming in there and just learning the offense so quickly. He looked to him a lot in their last game. I think Mohamed Sanu is a guy, if he's out there, make sure you grab him. He's a must-own.
Question from a friend on Twitter right now, at SportsFan1330. Would you play Danny Amendola or Will Fuller, who you just got off of waivers?
Is this friend named Jackson?
No.
So, I knew it. So what's the matchup? Edelman or who?
Any sneaky plays for you this week?
Well, a couple guys I would avoid, though. I think Alshon Jeffrey is a tough matchup against New England.
Yeah.
And Allen Robinson. I'm just going to say, they're playing against the Rams, ranked 13th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. That was before Jalen Ramsey. So now it's an even more dangerous secondary. I would avoid Allen Robinson, especially when my quarterback's Trubisky and he's going against the best corner in the league. Yeah, I'm avoiding that situation at all costs.
In this offense of the Lions right now, I got to give a little bit of love. I feel like Jeff Driscoll is going to be a little bit better since he has a full week to prepare for the Cowboys. It's more than he really got against the Bears last week. Does he suck? Yeah, he probably does. But I'll tell you, Marvin Jones, you shouldn't be afraid of playing him. He's going to be the target monster in this game as Driscoll's going to try to find somebody who he's comfortable with, and Marvin Jones could be that dude against the Cowboys. We move on to tight ends here. Any injuries?
We do have a few. Jack Doyle dealing with a shoulder injury. Gerald Everett's wrist injury. It's a new one. I don't know why I got excited about that. Trey Burton.
Carpal tunnel. He is out.
Calf injury. Vernon Davis in concussion protocol. George Kittle with a knee injury. It doesn't look like he will go this weekend against the Cardinals. Will miss his second straight game. And Austin Hooper, sadly, who I own in 11 of my 12 leagues,
Jesus,
is out for a month with a knee injury. Who knows if he returns, depending on what's going on with the Falcons situation, but doesn't look good for the number one tight end out there right now.
Darren Fells is a guy who you've said is a sneaky pick for a little while. We've both kind of been watching him in Houston, but it turns out he's got Baltimore this week. Baltimore's pretty good. Are you rolling with Darren Fells?
Darren Fells, I mean, for some reason, Deshaun Watson just loves him in the red zone. He's a huge red zone target, and he's not a guy who's going to get a lot of catches, but in this tight end position group where it's really thin and you're looking for streaming options every week, yeah, I think Darren Fells is definitely a guy who was inside my top 12 just because of the bigger chances of him finding the end zone again.
Yeah,
he has a lot this year.
If you're a George Kittle owner, this is a guy.
Yeah,
that
Darren Fells is a nice
at.
Guy to pick up. Yeah, absolutely.
Any sneaky picks?
Gerald Everett's the first guy I like. I mean, he's had 3 double-digit target games in his last 5 games.
Hmm.
That's not bad for a tight end. That's pretty good.
That is pretty
now
good.
Now you play Chicago, who just can't figure out how to guard the tight end position, ranked 27th. Against opposing tight ends in fantasy this season. And I also like Eric Ebron. He had 12 targets last week. I know it's different quarterback, Brian Hoyer, but hopefully the Colts finally realize that Eric Ebron is their big red zone target like he was last season. Finally utilize him in that role.
Can you just call Andrew Luck and be like, hey, what do we have to do better? And he'll tell you.
Use Eric Ebron.
I've got Jared Cook. I know that that's not a guy who's a sneaky play. If you got
like
him, you're probably
play.
Using him, yeah. But man, here's your reminder to keep doing so because he's become the third option out there in New Orleans, and they're looking to come out on fire to avenge that loss, that bad game that they had against Atlanta. So expect Jared Cook to find the end zone a little bit later on today. When it comes to kickers, they've got emotions. We can't forget about them. And if you've got a guy in a bye week, you want to pick somebody up. So, Jordan, who are you rolling with this week for kickers?
You know, I was really excited for our kicker at Feelings because I'm picking a guy who is owned right now in 9% of Yahoo leagues and just 4% of ESPN leagues.
That's
and kickers
sad.
Have feelings, right?
Imagine
you know?
That. That's sad.
I'm sure if this guy had to go and look at it, I'm sure he'd be upset.
He's eating lunch by himself right? in the cafeteria right now. What's going on?
And also, this is a guy who got cut by a team at the beginning of 2018 after just two games.
Oh, dude.
Just because he missed a total of three field goals. You know how many field goals Cody Parkey missed before he got cut?
That's kind of...
Right.
That's kind of that's kind of a rough couple of weeks.
Not only did
he
get cut, he got booed out of town, right?
Really?
He found a new home a week later across the country in Oakland.
Somebody welcomed him with open arms?
He did. He went 26 for 30 to end the year in field goals with the Oakland Raiders.
Look at that.
The Oakland Raiders. And then 2019 so far, he's 9 for 12.
All right.
It's not bad, right?
Did he miss the three kicks in the first 2 weeks?
I'm going with Daniel Carlson, a guy who got booed out of Minnesota because he had a terrible game week two against Green Bay in 2018. He's really upset. He's emotional, right? He found a nice little home in Oakland, really kicked some ass from 26 for 30 to end the year. Not bad. He's also showed some range, too. He can kick it from beyond 50. Daniel Carlson going up against the Cincinnati Bengals, a struggling defense. Yeah, give me Carlson. Great pick.
It's also something where you're just cursed if you're a kicker for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, Dan Bailey at one point was one of the most accurate kickers of all time, and then he went to go play there.
It's a circus right now when it comes to kickers.
I'm going to take Zane Gonzalez. He's not sad. He's happy. He's made 24 of 27 this year with a long of 54. Give me the Cardinals kicker against the 49ers. They're going to need him. When it comes to defenses, who are you looking at as a good play?
My streaming option this week is the Jets going up against Haskins and the Redskins. I don't know what it is, but Haskins just has the, I don't know if it's a Jameis Winston mentality, but he turns the ball over. And so far, he's done that a lot this year. And gets a second career start.
And he doesn't throw the ball downfield yet either.
Yeah, and the Jets defense is not something to sleep over either. They know how to turn the ball over.
I'll tell you what.
Jamal Adams, oof.
I had New England out last week. I picked the Jets up. They had a fumble recovery, an interception. I think they scored a touchdown. They put up some points, man. The defensive spot, you know, it's something where you can win a week with a good defense. And the Jets played well, so maybe roll with them again. I've got Indianapolis against the Jaguars at home. I feel like they're going to bounce back after a rough week, and they've shut down wide receivers recently. So maybe DJ Chark isn't going to have as great of a game. Maybe they can cover D.D. Westbrook. I don't know. Nick Foles is coming back. We'll see how it goes. But I got Indianapolis at home looking for revenge. When it comes to the end of the week, we like to look at six games. We call it the pick six, and we make our picks. It includes the Bears and Rams, which we'll do last, of course. Jordan, you want to guess what you did out of your six games in the pick six last week?
I believe I went 4-2. I got a couple big wins in there.
You did get
Seattle
a couple of big wins.
Seattle game did hurt me.
In fact, you got a few big wins. You went 3-3 last week.
Oh, come on.
I went 5-1. I had the Lions. You had the Bears.
I don't think so. I demand a recount.
I can pull up the tapes, but it's right there on the podcast. It's right there.
I don't believe I went 3-3 and he went 5-1.
For the season,
something's not right here.
For the season, you are 34-23. I'm five games up, 39-18. So. We look into the games this week. We've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, your team, against the Indianapolis Colts on the road. Who do you have in this one?
You're right. Jaguars are my team. Nick Foles is back. This offense coming off a bye week. They're going to get things rolling right against Indianapolis.
He's so excited.
It's going to be a close game down to the wire.
Might be.
But they're going to lose it. Colts are going to get the win at home.
Really?
The Colts always find a way to beat their interdivision opponents. I don't know what it is, but they always beat the Texans, they always beat the Jaguars, and they always beat the Titans. Every year. Doesn't matter who's playing quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to go with this one, too. I'm taking Indianapolis at home. They're looking for revenge. Unfortunately, your Jaguars are just next up on the schedule. Cowboys at Lions.
When we record this, I don't know if Stafford's going to play or not. Therefore, I can't pick the Lions. I got to go with the Cowboys just because we don't know if Stafford's going to play or not. He's going to be a game-time decision anyways.
That is true. And with backs, I mean, how good is he really going to be anyway? The Cowboys get in his face at all? I mean, you got to hope that they play two-hand touch with him because if they take him down, he could be out for extended time.
The Lions are going to be passing the ball in the entire game because they have no running back.
I'm going to assume that Driscoll is going to be the guy, and regardless, even if Stafford was there, I'm still taking the Cowboys in this one. They are in the middle of a fight for their division and a playoff spot, so give me the Cowboys on the road. The Texans travel to take on Baltimore in a game that I look forward to watching.
This might be the best game, I think, on today's slate. I really do.
One of them. There's two of them that are going to be awesome,
this is
one of them.
A great match. Remember last time Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson faced each other? It was like a 60-50 game in college between Louisville and Clemson. I mean, just an absolute stellar of a game.
Yeah.
And now they meet on the NFL field, and for some reason, Deshaun Watson always finds a way to win the big games. Wonder what that's like. Give me Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
Well, you would if your GM would have just interviewed him. Give me the Ravens on this one. I just think that Lamar Jackson's playing on another level right now. The defense is starting to come together. I do think they'll get gashed a little bit, but the home crowd, I've got the Ravens by, I don't know, a field goal. It's going to be a one-score
game. It's going to be a close game.
The Patriots off of a bye taking on Philadelphia, who is also off of a bye. Do I have that right?
Yep.
This is going to be a good one.
It's going to be a rematch of the Super Bowl a few seasons ago, and I can't not take the Patriots coming off a bye week. I mean, a Bill Belichick team have 2 weeks to prepare for a game, a team that you lost to in the Super Bowl. Yeah, give me the Patriots.
I like Doug Peterson trying to come up with something different, knowing that he's got tendencies and him giving himself a way of looking at things. The Patriots are the best defense by far. They're one of the best defenses this millennium so far, the way that they've played this year. I like how smart Doug Peterson is, and I feel like they can work on some things that are just a different look, a little sneaky. Just stay one step ahead of Bill Belichick right now, because Belichick has everything on tape. He can maybe guess where Doug Peterson's going to go. But I think that Doug Peterson understands what's going to be happening, what Bill Belichick has been doing. The self-scouting was there, and I feel like the Eagles, if they execute, I think they might have more talent than the Patriots.
Ooh.
Maybe.
I think it's a hot take.
I don't know. That is kind of tough.
That's a hot take.
Bill Belichick's the best coach of all time, right?
No question.
I mean, he's worth a couple of wins in himself throughout the course of a year. At least I feel that way. I'm going to go with the Eagles at home on this one. I'm taking the Eagles. I'm going against the Patriots after a bye, and I'm probably going to get burned for it, but I just got this gut feeling. The Bears. Now, we'll do them last. Tomorrow night in Mexico City. Is this where they're playing this game?
Yeah, the Chiefs and Chargers in Mexico City.
This is a Chargers home game, right? So they probably have about as many fans as they do during a normal home game?
If they're lucky enough, yeah.
Who do you have?
Give me the Chiefs. I know they've had a couple tough losses at home and then a tough loss last week against the Titans. I think Patrick Mahomes, they find a way to fix whatever problems they're having on defense. I think they get the ball rolling. Give me the Chiefs.
I like a lot of the Chargers players in fantasy this week. I think Phillip Rivers is going to go off for a nice game. But I think that the Chiefs are going to probably win going away. I'm looking at maybe a 35-23 score, you know, something like that, double digits or so.
Still no Derwin James for the Chargers.
It's unfortunate, too, because that guy's one hell of a player. The Bears taking on the Rams on Sunday Night Football. You can hear it on Sports Fan Radio 1330. It is our game of the week that we're going to be running. Who do you have, the Chicago Bears or the Los Angeles Rams?
I think what the Bears have to do in order to win this game is you got to put pressure on Jared Goff. Just like he did last year, is a nightmare matchup for him. And you said you think the last year against the Bears that it broke Jared Goff. This year, offensive line has been horrendous, really, for both teams, but especially for the Rams. The Bears have to take advantage of that in the front seven. Leonard Floyd, Khalil Mack, you got to get after the quarterback, get in Jared Goff's face, make him make bad decisions. I still think the Rams are going to find a way to get the ball. They're going to find a way to get the job done. Give me the Rams at home. I don't trust the Bears going on the road in prime time to win the game.
I just realized I'm going to have to ask you what games that you picked when we're done with this, because I've been marking them J and J.
Oh, good one.
It's late here. It's late on this recording.
I've done that before. I did it last year.
It's early when we're here broadcasting this and airing it here on Sports Fan Radio 1330, but I am loopy as hell right now.
Last year we had Joey on as a guest.
Yeah.
1 week. It was Joey, you, me, and Joey.
Yeah,
I wrote all of us down J's with JJJ. Every single matchup. I had to call Joey later and ask him.
You're taking the Los Angeles Rams then?
Yeah, give me the Rams.
I'm not saying this game is going to be exactly like the game last year, because I don't know if the Rams defense is as good. Give me the Bears. Dude, give me the Bears.
Oh,
I'm back on. They're more confident now.
Hey,
they're more confident
now. I'll
power
to you.
I'm taking the Bears on the road against the Rams because Jared Goff sucks. And I'm feeling pretty good that you guys are going to wake up on Monday morning and feel pretty happy. That game's going to be on 6:45, the broadcast time, 7:20. Overall, I guess that's the kickoff time. That's what we'll call it. If you don't want to listen to Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, turn mute on that television. Flip on the radio to 1330. We've got your hometown call here with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer screaming ball for a fumble. And we look forward to airing that game for you. We can't wait to talk to you next week and see how it all shapes up, too. And if you have any questions, at SportsFan1330. You've got an hour before kickoff. We are here to help you, and we will catch you next week here on a Football Sunday. He's Jordan. I'm Jackson.
Goodbye.